friends, as we start our Friday podcast, I want to welcome back Pastor Schibelli. Now, some of you have heard that Pastor Schibelli was in a very serious car accident several weeks ago, and, well, he has been recuperating. He's got a knee that's pretty banged up and still quite swollen. He's got several broken ribs that he's still mending from. But he is back in our studio, which gives all of us a chance to worship God for his healing and his, well, safety. It could have been a very serious accident. It was, of course, but not life-threatening for that, which we're eternally grateful. But I hope all of you, along with me and everyone listening today, will welcome back Pastor Schibelli.
Thank you for welcoming me back. Wow.
Great to have you back.
Alive.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Nobody is doing like a face-to-face service.
No. We weren't even thinking about that. But we're just grateful that you have been in the process of recuperating. And
I did better than the deer, by the way.
The deer
that was there didn't make it. Okay. And interestingly enough, and God has a perfect plan. It's really very interesting. When the guy stepped out of the car, because they pulled me out of the car because the door wouldn't open, and I got out of the car, and the guy that I ran into walked up to me, and I said, like, are you born again? That was my first words to him. He goes, absolutely. And I realized, like, how interesting it is that these encounters can be spiritual encounters. Nobody likes to have a car that's destroyed. But, you know, it's better to have a destroyed car and a destroyed deer than having yourself destroyed, you know.
Amen.
There's no doubt about that.
Cars can be replaced.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, you can replace a car. The deer, I guess not, you know. The deer, I guess not so. But just really thankful. And I love the subject, worship. And I'm thinking of John 4:20-24, and I'm sure you well aware of that portion of scripture, but Jesus is talking to religious people and he's talking about worship. Of course, they were very concerned with worship, the mode of worship, the how of worship, the why of worship, and which way to worship. But he said, they who worship must, and I like the word must. It really means it's a necessity in the nature of the case. The word is DEI. Those who worship must worship. Like, it's the same thing from John 3. You must be born again. You must be born again. I must needs go see Samaria. So it's an intimate word, and worship, you must worship in spirit and in truth. There isn't any other way around it. You can say you worship God, but you don't read the Bible. So you're kind of like off in the wrong direction in your so-called worship. Or you worship God and it's not Jesus Christ and his person and his finished work. So they who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And this is why it's so important for us to be Bible-believing people. Because really, worship is all about the Word of God. Sometimes, I mean, did you ever see signs, Pastor Love, where you go by a church that says worship service? And I think what they're talking about, I'm not saying right or wrong, I'm just saying what they're talking about is their church service. But if their church service doesn't involve the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, then is it really worship? You must, those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And so this is so key, really understanding this principle of the spirit and the truth. Must worship in spirit and in truth. And it cannot be the spirit if it's void of the truth. And it cannot be the truth if it's void of the spirit. The two actually are one, the spirit and the truth. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, 2 Peter 1:19-21. So they absolutely go together. So this is really what worship is. It's thank God for praise and singing and music and all that. But if I came to a church and all they did for 1.5 hours was sing songs, I think I'd leave there disappointed. I'm not disappointed in a way at the people per se, but somehow people have not grasped the importance of the truth. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. And this is so key to our topic today.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, that confrontation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman, I mean, he talked about, obviously, the fact that it's not about where you worship.
Right.
It's about how you worship, as you right. just said, in spirit and in truth. I remember before I was a believer, before I was born again, I really thought that you couldn't worship anywhere except a church, a building.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were outside of that building, there was no such thing as worship, because worship can only happen in that building.
Yeah.
But then you realize, wait a minute, that has nothing to do with worship, because there are a lot of people in those buildings that don't necessarily worship God.
And what if they're only open 3 hours a week, like a Wednesday, a Sunday, and a Sunday night? That means the only time you can worship are those 3 hours or 4 or 5 hours per week. But if you can worship, if worship is the spirit and the truth, you can be on a moment-by-moment basis, daily, filled with the Holy Spirit, and it points us to the truth. You know, the interesting thing about the word worship, proskuneo, it means to kiss towards. And when I think of kissing Jesus Christ would be fellowshipping in intimacy with his word.
Yeah.
To me, that's a key definition, to kiss towards. And when I read the Bible and I believe the Bible, it's actually a kiss towards God. It's a kiss towards God, worship. Spirit and in truth. So there's people that have the truth, but they're not born again. They use the Bible, okay? And there's people that say they are born again, but they never, ever read the Bible. They are saved, okay? And they will go to heaven, but they really have no fellowship with the Word of God. There's no Word of God centralized teaching and preaching in the church. And where there is not the Word of God, it's got to be the Spirit and the truth. Otherwise, it's not worship. Yeah. Otherwise, you're kissing towards something else, you know. You may be a half kiss, you know, something like that, you know, whatever. But it's not what is said in John chapter 4. And so here they are challenging him about worship, you know, and he's giving them the absolute answer in the truth and through the Spirit.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because worship is a lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not something that you... You know, you set apart an hour here or an hour there or a day here or a day there. It's a lifestyle. I like what the prophet Jonah said in Jonah chapter 1, verse 9. He said, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's speaking about a lifestyle that he was dedicated to. And we know that believers, well, we can participate in acts of worship. Whenever we celebrate God's worthiness, his greatness, we give him honor, glory. Worship can be expressed in words, shouts, singing, bowing down, raising our hands, so many different ways.
Quiet prayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, everything.
It doesn't always have to be loud, does it?
No, at all. You go to some places and they're very loud, and you wonder if they're so loud that they're even hearing from God. In other words, like I asked a group of people one time, like, is God deaf? He's got a hearing problem or something, like it's so loud in here I can't even think, you know, the music and the yelling and the screaming and the shouting. And I thought, like, what happened to God? Did he lose his hearing?
I know. And oftentimes when people pray, and it's kind of humorous, because they, in their prayer, they'll say, and God, and we just, Lord, and Jesus, it's like after the first time, I think he knows you're talking to him.
Yeah.
You don't have to kind of repeat over and over again and keep reminding the one that you're talking to that you're talking to.
Yeah. Prayer can be interesting, and some forms of worship can be really off the charts. I mean, I remember seeing people that were extraordinary in their worship, where they were so physical and the way they were dancing around. And it reminded me sometimes of a little bit of a disco, you know, where people were dancing at a disco and, you know, they're just kind of revealing body parts, which was ridiculous to me, you know? Like, is this worship? Just because they're dancing and they got their hands raised in the air, it seems like it was very carnal to me, you know? So worship is connected to the Spirit and to the truth. How do you look at worship today? What do people think worship is all about? How do they define worship? And, you know, the devil is into worship. Mm-hmm. What do they say to Jesus in Luke chapter 4? You know, I want you to worship me.
Yeah.
You know, if you put your head to the ground and worship me. So the devil actually wanted Jesus to perform a form of worship towards him, which is interesting. So maybe the devil is not making that extraordinary approach one-on-one with people, but he's using other means to get people to worship outside of who God is, outside of the nature and character of God.
What's interesting is that when you think about what it's like to be a human being, you kind of, if you kind of focus on what it's like to be made in the image and likeness of God, you kind of sense that you're wired to worship.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, because we do worship a lot of different things, don't we? Some people worship money. Some people worship relationships. Some people worship a brand new car. Some people
food.
I mean, there's so many different things.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you can see in human nature that we're wired to worship.
Yeah.
But obviously, because God is our creator, we were wired to worship him.
And they would, if you said that to them, oh, you know, what do you worship? Sports? You know, it's like you're going to spend all day Saturday and Sunday from 9 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night just looking at, you know, football games and sports. And what do you worship? Sports? And there are people, and maybe they can even be born again Christians and they are saved, but their worship, their kiss towards, their intimacy towards Jesus Christ, the Word of God, his body, the church, doesn't exist at all. So what kind of worship is it? Is it true worship? Those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Is there truth in that worship? So, and I've been in many countries, into many places where people really believe, and maybe sometimes just out of ignorance or they haven't been taught correctly, and I understand that, you know, that this is worship. This would be worship, you know. Somebody will say to somebody, like, if you really worship God, you'll sell everything you have and give it to the church, you know. And they'll use that as a form of control in people's lives. And they'll think if you're really worshiping God, you're going to give in the offering. You're going to give a lot of money in the offering. And of course, we should be giving. The Bible says tithing 10%, whatnot. But some people go way overboard with that. And they'll say to you, if you're not doing that, you're really not worshiping God. So they put all kinds of criteria on worshiping God when it's spirit and truth.
Yeah. This inherent drive to worship, it seems to stem from like a deep-seated need to connect.
Yes.
Right? To find purpose, to anchor our lives in something or someone who is transcendent, greater than we are. And of course, that leads us inevitably to say, okay, is there a God? Can I know him? Can I worship him? Can I find a connection with him? Can I anchor my life to him?
Yeah.
And we can do that in our relationship with Christ. And I think that was the reason why Jesus came. We're celebrating the Christmas season. Well, he came into our world so that that connection with God could be made and our worship could be genuine and authentic.
So what is Christmas worship then? I mean, you can see all kinds of things going on. Okay, I'm not saying that they're sin or they're this or they're that, but what does it mean to worship God, not just at this time of the year, but any time? But especially now, there's so many things that are put up into people's faces about, you know, what Christmas really is all about. And somehow he is neglected. God himself is neglected in what we could call Christmas worship, you know, and Christmas parties, Christmas foods, Christmas this, Christmas presents, you know, holidays, holy days, whatever. And it's incredible, really, what goes on and where people's minds go and the direction they go in. And all kind of based on how they see worship.
Yeah.
What does it mean to worship God? They came and the kings brought things to Jesus. They brought things that would help him later on, but they came and they worshiped him.
That first thing they did.
Yeah, that was the first thing they did.
The first thing they did.
Yeah.
Before offering any of their gifts, they worshiped him.
They worshiped him,
yeah. Amazing. Of course, we're told that worship can only happen because of the Spirit of God who opens the eyes of our understanding that we can see who Christ is. And then truth. That's the Bible.
Right.
I mean, how can you even imagine worshiping God unless you have an understanding of who he is? And you can't have an understanding of who God is without the scriptures telling us and giving us a revelation of the very nature and character of God. And isn't it true that the more you come to an understanding of who God is, the more you want to worship him?
Right. And what would be the enemy's major attack against the church? It would be just to keep the word of God away from people. They who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. If I can keep people away from the truth, hide the truth, okay, then that's going to be the objective of the enemy because he desires to be worshiped, okay? So if you know the truth about who Jesus Christ is, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then if he can keep me from the truth, he can keep me from the person of Christ, then he's got me looking in other directions because we're made for worship. So we're either going to worship God himself or we're going to be worshiping something else. And sometimes, you know, the enemy's tricky. In other words, you would think, oh, I'm not worshiping the devil. Of course not. You know, I understand what you're saying, but are you worshiping self? Are you worshiping man? Are you worshiping what man can do? You know, well, man was able to go to the moon. Man was able to go to Mars. Man could walk on the moon. Man can do this. Man can do that. So what happens is man takes the place of God in worship. Behind all of it is something satanic.
Yeah, don't we read that in Romans, the first chapter? It actually says that when the world knew there was a God, they did not worship him as God, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's almost as if creation itself gives us a revelation of a creator, but they refuse to worship him. That's a choice that they make, isn't it?
It's a choice they make because their preference is themselves. You know, in all reality, like if I worship God, that means I'm not going to be doing this. I'm not going to be doing that. I'm going to be going in the direction of God himself. I don't want to go in that direction. You know, I'm looking to man. I'm looking to self. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, how many mirrors are in some people's houses that are very vain?
You think of the health club, right? All the mirrors, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you go there to keep looking at yourself.
And if you don't see what you like, then you're either going to
work harder,
join, be there more often or whatever, you know, because it controls your decision making. How you look controls your decisions, you know. Mm. That's very interesting. But really, something else when he talks to that woman, you know, they who worship must. It's not a maybe. It's a must. Must worship in spirit and truth. We got a few people that have chimed in here.
Yeah, we can take a look at their comments as we continue our live podcast here from our studios, at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach. Our good friend Arbor, great to hear
Arbor.
From him. It's been quite some time. I believe he's in Tennessee now.
Where are you, Arbor?
He's in Tennessee.
Tennessee.
And Loretta says, Heavenly Father, thanking you for the healing powers on the life of Pastor Schiavelli. We thank you for sparing his life. She actually wrote spearing his life. That's kind of what happened, isn't it?
Yeah.
But she meant sparing his life to fulfill his mission in the world. Amen.
Spearing.
And great to hear from Ruth as well. And Madeline, who is a faithful listener to our podcast, sends her greetings. And we appreciate her life and her life of faith as well. You know, Pastor Schiavelli, worship is the theme in the Bible all the way from Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
To Revelation.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't think of a Bible character without thinking or reading about them worshiping God.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, Abraham, he worshiped God. Adam and Eve in the garden, they worshiped God. Even after the fall, they worshiped God because he was able to, you know, cover them and give them a proper covering before they were compelled to leave the garden. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. You read about them, and what are they doing? They're worshiping God.
And according to the spirit and the truth. See, because worship is there, and people want to worship, you know. But what is the criteria for their worship? You know, what is the foundation of their worship? Is the foundation of their worship the person of the Spirit and the word of truth? There's a key. So do you think if a person never reads the Bible or never comes under the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, can they really be worshiping God? I don't believe so, because it says they who worship must worship in spirit and in truth. If I want nothing to do with the truth of the Word of God, you know, then what am I worshiping? How am I worshiping? Where am I getting? What's my criteria for worship? You know, what's taking place here? It's just something that is propagated in my own mind through being self-centered and seeing that worship ought to take place in this way and whatnot. But it's interesting because you'll go to so many places and you'll see so many people. And what is worship to them? What does it mean to them, you know?
Well, Jesus confronted the people of his day while he came in his first advent. And he said about them in Matthew chapter 15, he said, "This people, they draw nigh unto me with their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in vain, listen to this. He says, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the traditions of the commandments of men. Doesn't that remind us that if worship doesn't come forth from our hearts, because it can come from people's lips, yeah. It can come forth from their mouths, but what if we find ourselves in the condition that these people found themselves in? And Jesus said, it's not real. It's not genuine. In fact, he said, it's empty. It's vain.
Chinese Christian once said, it's all talky-talky, no walky-walky. I enjoyed
that's
that.
That's a good way to describe it.
It's just a talk thing. And he says it's vain. It's empty and it's useless. And what is the traditions of men? Traditions of men are, the word tradition, paradosis, means a handing down. So certain aspects of worship have been handed down for decades, for centuries, from in denominations and everything at times. And so there are certain traditions, like you can't come into church, you know, like you got to dress a certain way. This is a worship service. Like you can't come in without socks on or something like that, you know, or whatnot. And they put all kinds of stipulations on worship, you know, and whatnot. And I remember one time I was in a place and a man just stood up and just started praising God. Man, they ushered him out so quickly out of the church, you know, because it was a kind of a more traditionalized church. And for somebody just to get up and start praising the Lord and singing, like, and the ushers just took him out, you know. And so his aspect of worship wasn't wanted there. In other words, worship has to be very quiet. And worship is something you do inwardly alone, and you shouldn't open your mouth and disturb the church service. But that's what they saw. That's how they saw worship. Mm. They saw worship in that way. And so anybody else doing it another way, it was like totally contrary to their way of thinking, you know. Mm.
I love what Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is wonderful. He said, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. He said eating, mm-hmm. drinking, working, exercising, resting, walking, sleeping can all be done to the glory of God.
So I can eat macaroni and say it's to the glory of God.
Amen.
Isn't that hallelujah?
I think that's incredible. In other words, every activity done in such a manner where God is honored, that is worship, which means it should be incorporated in every aspect of our lives. That's wonderful.
Amazing.
I mean,
yeah.
You just sit down.
Everything,
you can even go to McDonald's. I mean, we don't highly recommend it.
Yes.
But you could go to McDonald's and eat and worship God as
worship
you go there.
Worship God because you have something to eat.
That's right.
How about worshiping the fact that you have air to breathe?
Amen.
There's so many things we take for granted. We have water to drink. You know, when you get to a place, like I've been in countries where water is not sufficient. Like you open the tap and something else comes out. It doesn't look like water, really, you know. And when you really begin to thank God and worship God because you can get a glass of water. I'm not so sure about bottled water, though, you know. I heard some ideas about some plastic that can seep its way into the water from the inside of the bottle. But I don't know if it's true. It could be just somebody that's exaggerating and whatnot. But, yeah, to worship God that we are here. To worship God, that we can speak. I mean, how many people, like, you know, we have ears to hear, eyes to see, a mouth to speak. And when you lose some of these things, sometimes you really appreciate it, you know. Mm. And people ought to thank God for some of the real basic, simple things that we have that are very much given by God himself.
You know, that means when you open the door to your car, whatever condition that car might be in, whatever the mileage that's on that car.
Thank you.
You just say, Lord, I can get from A to B.
Yeah.
I can get to where I need to be going because you have given me this car. And I want to worship you. And I want to worship you for, you know, getting me to my destination safely.
However, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and even, you know, you were able to walk away from that horrific accident
and worship God
because yeah. you're still here.
Still
and you're on
here.
The grace hour yeah. today.
Yes, that's exactly right. You could look at all the other aspects. Why did that deer come across the road? God, you could have prevented that. Why did the man slam his brakes on? Why did this take place? What happened here? What happened there? And you could drive yourself crazy just having all these mental gymnastics about what shouldn't have happened and whatnot, rather than, okay, God allowed it, and I'm going to just praise the Lord in it. I'm not going to have an attitude towards God. How about when people go through difficult times and tragedies happen? Things take place, you know what? And I can't worship God. I'm not going to church anymore. Can't believe that this has happened. Why would God allow this to take place, you know? And yet, you can see there are people that really look at the situation much differently than the average person would look at it and say, like, I'm going to worship God because I thank God. Thank God for not what I've lost, but what I have.
The scripture says, have clean hands and a pure heart. Mm-hmm. A pure heart is a heart that prizes God above everything else in life. Pastor Adrian Rogers said this, quote, "To be pure in heart really means to have an undivided heart, a heart that's unmixed, like mm-hmm. metal without alloy, or milk that's undiluted. It means singleness of mind. The issues of life brought down to one burning focus, concentrated in my devotion to Jesus Christ. It means loving him, serving him, desiring him with a pure heart."
Amen.
An undivided heart.
Undivided. Undivided. Not double-minded.
Exactly.
You know? And that's what can happen if we're not careful. Tonight we have a Bible class. It's the last class of the semester.
You're going to teach it?
Yes.
Live?
I'm going to teach it live.
Oh, man, that's great.
I think it's kind of hard for a dead person to speak. Unless it's a videotape from prior times. But, yes, I'm going to teach it live. It's going to be about Romans 15 and 16. Romans 15, the word nations or Gentiles is used 10 times. And then Romans 16, he mentions 34 people and five times the word the household of. So it's like 34 to 39 times. It's so personal. Romans 15, the mission to the nations. Romans 16, about the personal walk with God and how Paul knew all these people by name. I mean, it's amazing. If you read Romans 16, greet this one, greet that one, greet this one. So not only did he have a vision for the nations, but he had a vision for individual people, which I think is great.
Amen.
15 and 16 tonight, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock at night. Everybody's welcome. Last class of the semester. We're probably even going to have pizza.
Oh,
ooh.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You can come and worship God around the word and around the food.
Amen.
Because you can glorify God in every single
Hallelujah.
Way.
Hallelujah.
You know, you mentioned about the double-minded heart. Again, to quote Pastor Adrian Rogers, he said, "Are you seeking for Christ with all your heart?" James 1:8 says, "He is a double-minded man whose heart is not wholly seeking Christ, unstable in all his ways." The word for double-minded literally means two souls.
Yeah.
Here's a person trying to face both ways at the same time, trying to live with one foot in the church and one in the world. They've just got enough of the world in them that they can't be happy in church, and just enough of Christ in them that they can't be happy in the
world. They're not happy anywhere.
Right. They've become a spiritual schizophrenic, a two-souled person. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart.
Yeah, the double-minded is a problem. Like when you see somebody that's got one mind towards that, which is wrong, okay? But the double-minded person, back and forth, in and out, you know, unstable in all their ways, all their ways. You might see a person that has a mind that's totally wrong, but you know their ways. You know, this person, this other person is like, it's a back and forth. It's the mind of the flesh, the mind of the spirit. Mind of the flesh, the mind of the spirit. You never know what you're going to get, what's going to take place, what's the response going to be, and unstable. And so worship is this half divided thing. You know, worship God. Come to church on Sunday and worship God. Go home and start swearing because my favorite team is losing on the football in the football game. You know, so what happened? What happened to the praise once was vulgarity? You know, on the same day. Yeah, you know what?
So right, because football's on Sunday.
Yes,
right after church.
I wonder what some people consider football the church and don't even come to church. Mm. It's like all about Sunday. It's all about the sports thing. And I can appreciate sports. You know, I played sports my whole life, and so didn't you. You know what? But I'm not going to worship it, you know?
That's right.
Because what happens when you're 80 years old? You can't play and do the things you used to do when you were 25, 30, 35 years old. Although there was one guy that used to play for the Harlem Globetrotters, and he was 80 years old, and he would be down in the gym in Springfield, Massachusetts, And he would think and beat the daylights out of all of us, you know, when he was on the team.
Was it Meadowlark Lemon?
No, it was. There was another guy. I can't
Curly Neal?
No.
Was That's it? All I know.
Yeah. But this, he was on the Globetrotters.
Wow.
And he was incredible because his thinking, his mind was all set, you know. And and some people ended up trying to worship him because he was 80 years old and still playing like he was 30 years old and still making us look like idiots on the court because of his mental ability. So
when you go back and you think about the nature of the double-minded man, or one Bible teacher calls him Mr. Facing Both Ways, you kind of rob yourself of all that God wants to give to you because you're withholding a part of your heart from him. I mean, when you wholeheartedly pursue God, that just opens the door to all of God's blessings. And I'm not suggesting that it's a works program,
right?
Like you got to give God more. It's just he wants your whole heart.
Right.
He's a jealous God for who we are. And he doesn't want to be occupying second place in our lives, does he?
Half place, second place, whatever it may be. No. Yeah. And it's like has a desire to be worshiped, you know. And this is so key. And yet my mind is occupied with the things of this life, the things of this world, there's an interference that's being run there by the enemy himself. And maybe because I don't see the enemy, I don't think about it happening that way. But it's very clear. Let me keep the church double-minded. And really, the church in many aspects in this day and age seems to operate at times being double-minded, thinking just like the world, you know, like nobody, there's really nothing. I've heard a pastor say this one time, what's really wrong with smoking marijuana? Oh, really? What are you talking about? You have any idea what you're talking about? The world is infiltrated. You know, what's wrong with drinking? No, the world is infiltrated. What's wrong with living with somebody without being married? The world is infiltrated. So there's not this pure, single, perfect mind that comes from God, but there's a double mind that divides me from the very life of God himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus made it very clear in that meeting that he had with that Samaritan woman. And I love the fact that it says that God is seeking for worshipers.
Yeah.
He's seeking. That's God's way of saying, my eyes run to and fro throughout the whole world, and I'm looking and searching for worshipers.
And that interesting word, that word to seek there is a teo. I think that's the word that's used there. It actually has a very powerful meaning. God has a desire, and God requires those to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a desire, and he really requires that. This is a requirement and a desire that he has that people would worship in spirit and in truth. He doesn't want people just to go off and be going to church and just having really no objective and being abstract and generalized, but something very precise and specific, the word and the truth and the spirit of God.
Mm. And that, just to think that he's looking. He's looking for worship.
Seeking, yeah. I mean,
it makes me think of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers and telling them to go and show yourselves to the priest. It says, as they went, they were healed, but only one.
One, yeah.
Only one out of the 10 returned to thank him. And Jesus said, he's the one that asked this question to that one Samaritan that came back to worship him. He said, where are the nine?
Where are the nine?
He was looking for them
to
return.
Looking for the nine, yeah.
So that they could worship him.
Isn't that the case too? They say that true Christianity, people are saved, but people that really walk with God maybe are 10%. You know, that's what I've heard. I'm not saying I know that for a fact, and that's true, but it's very few that really do. You really want God? You know, thank God you're born again. Thank God that you got saved. But what does that, is that just stop there? Is that where it ends? And you have to ask yourself a question. With 8 billion people on the planet, what's going on with Christianity? And maybe out of 8 billion people, they say only 700 to 800 million are born again. So overall, what's happening with people that are saved? And some people are saved, but they live so much like the world, you wouldn't know the difference. They're not. Is it worshiping God or worshiping a system, a denomination, worshiping themselves? Where's the worship? Worship towards God, spirit and truth.
When you realize and recognize how much God has given us, I mean, ears to hear, mouths to speak,
yeah.
eyes that can see, you know, water to drink. Our hearts will beat over 3 billion times in a lifetime.
My God.
It's just incredible, all the blessings of God. And when you recognize that you don't have anything except God has given it to
mm-hmm,
you,
mm-hmm.
it really does bring you to a place of worship, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, well, yeah, how did you get here? Well, how did that happen? You know, what took place there, you know? It's all God that you're alive.
I'll just close with this quote once again from Dr. Adrian Rogers. He said, when I wake up in the morning, I greet the Lord. But I don't try to have my quiet time immediately. He says, I try to get my motor running for a little bit. Now, my motor gets running faster and faster the longer I stay up. And I have to get the cobwebs out of my mind just a little bit. It doesn't mean that I'm not hungry to meet the Lord. It's that I am hungry to meet the Lord, and I want to meet the Lord at the right time. Mm-hmm. And then I find a time that is the optimum time for me to worship God.
Hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes believers get up in the morning and say, well, the first thing I have to do is, you know, worship God. But you can't even think straight. You can't even put two thoughts together.
Yeah, they're a program.
Yeah, so get your motor running a little bit, and then maybe just start by counting your blessings,
yeah.
and then think about all that God has done for you. Your sins are forgiven. You have money in the bank. You have a roof over your head, a car to drive, a family that loves you, and you could just take it from there
yeah.
and find yourself worshiping God.
And just like, how about some quiet time? People always have to just, I got to get up and do something. That's been our whole life. Get up and do something, really. You know, it's like, really? Is that what it's all about? And just being quiet before God, before the Bible, the Word of God, and thanking God. And worshiping God, just the fact that you can read, you have an open Bible, you know. You go into a lot of, especially in Africa and maybe Asia too, a lot of illiterate people, they can't even read. Mm. And even where people can read, they don't even have a Bible. We should thank God that we have a Bible that we can read, you know.
Amen
to
that.
Real basics.
Well, again, just some of the folks tuning in today. Daisy said, I needed to hear this. I'm dealing with double-mindedness at times in my own life.
You already dealt with it.
And Marcia writes, blessings to you, pastors. Thank you. And Aretta says, have a blessed Christmas and a great weekend. And we will wrap up today's Grace Hour podcast by, again, reminding you, friends, to have a blessed Christmas. And I think we can all do just that because of the fact that Christ has come. Emmanuel, Amen. That's his name, God with us.
And you can come tonight, 6 to 8 o'clock, and we have Bible class tonight. And it's the last class
of the semester.
Can you believe that?
And can we say, once again, pizza?
Sure.
Okay.
Of course we can say that.
You heard it here on the Grace Hour.
But don't just come at the end of the class for the pizza.
Come for the word.
Come for the word and the pizza.
And yeah. then have the pizza afterwards.
Yep. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us, friends. We hope you have a great weekend. Don't forget, if you don't have a local church here in the Baltimore area where you are fellowshipping or worshiping, come and worship with us at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in the greater Baltimore area. Thanks for joining us, friends. Until next week, God bless you.